Welcome to Cosmic Brilliance, folks. And oh my gosh, I am so excited to present to you all some very, very informative and fun videos today that are perfect for neophytes and all ages from 12 to 100, courtesy of my new special guest, Jason Cooper. Several of you have asked me in the last 6 months, more than several, and I understand why. And you said, quote, Merrily, can you provide more beginner style shows that are oriented to neophytes like me that are new to all your mind-blowing topics? And more introductory shows for beginners would make it easier for me to share this important info with my family and friends who need to wade into this knowledge more slowly rather than be dropped in the deep end. And they have a good point, okay? So my answer is yes, I can. And that is what today is about. So through wonderful synchronicities and cooperative teamwork, this roundtable show today introduces you to Jason Cooper and his incredible 20-minute episodes containing the most gorgeous moving visuals spanning a variety of important and fascinating topics, serving as the perfect answer to your requests. So my guest, Jason, is the digital media visionary artist behind Alpha Awakenings. Good name, Jason. His
Thanks.
Transformative journey of discovery occurred in 2004 when he began to see through and question many of the narratives presented by the public media. His quest for truth began with a critical examination of the events surrounding September 11th, and this propelled him into the depths of studying the clues used for media disinformation, tactics, and hidden knowledge. Having an insatiable curiosity, Jason founded a website dedicated to uncovering and researching esoteric information, spanning many topics from reported extraterrestrial phenomena to spirituality and conscious soul evolution. As a researcher, his strong explorative nature and strong intuition proved useful in guiding him through the maze of information to hone the skills of discerning fact from fiction. Something we all work hard at, boy. Whew. His commitment and passion drives him to create these 20-minute, easily digestible visual narratives designed for all ages, some of which you get to watch today, compliments of Jason. His personal quest is dedicated to enhancing his abilities and learning to connect with higher soul aspects of himself in order to gain deeper insights and broader understandings of his soul journeys and lifetimes. And he certainly enjoys challenging himself by pushing the boundaries of conditioned understandings and awareness. And now my other guest here today, who has been on my shows before and is a very, very knowledgeable colleague, researcher, healer, psychic, and remote viewer extraordinaire, and prolific author, is Ileana the Star Traveler. Our roundtable exploration is also for Ileana to validate or not with her independent research and her very accurate remote viewing skills, what Jason has researched independently and intuitively receives to produce his visionary episodes. So this is just gonna be lots of fun. So welcome Jason and Ileana, and thank you so much for being here to share your cooperative wisdom and your creative expression. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me as well, Merrily.
You're welcome. My pleasure. So we are going to start shortly to show you one of Jason's very popular episodes called Cosmic Space Cats Meet the Irma. As synchronicity would have it, Ileana also just published one of her top-selling books called Disclosure About the Irma Feline Race and Their Planet Avion, Atlantis, Lemurian, Palladians, Elohim, Creator Beings, and Tibet. I think you need a few more subjects in that book.
I tried to make it a very round topics that sort of fit together and flow in a nice way, because like Pleiadians, Atlantis, planetary galactic stuff in Tibet, they're all interconnected in some ways.
They are. Thank you. I loved your book. Loved it, loved it, loved it. So I understand why it's one of your best sellers too. So folks, unknown to most people, the Irma are literally your founder parents that genetically created the humans for this amazing universal experiment and are cosmic and wise protectors. So let's begin with you, Jason. I would like the audience to learn a little bit about you and get a sense of your soul trajectory in life and when your awakening started and how you got to here, if you would.
Sure. So yeah, my name's Jason, and I grew up in a very traditional conservative type family, and very religious, and I was always one to kind of question things and not really accept just people telling me the way that it is. I always wanted to find out and figure it out for myself. So as I got older, September 11th happened and all that. And around 2004, I came across some videos on YouTube, and it kind of blew my mind as far as the fact that we're just not being told the truth about a lot of things in our world. And from there, I've just got a very analytical mind. So I just started researching everything, digging into everything, and going down rabbit hole after rabbit hole. Ended up creating a website that, just allowed me to really dive into any kind of topic. And I researched everything. And it's funny, because when you really start going down the rabbit holes, you find out that most everything that you thought was just a conspiracy theory, there's something to it. And, eventually it leads me to more of an understanding that there's, a lot more going on than just what we see in this 3D reality. And I've just been digging and digging since then. And I created my YouTube channel as a way, because I've always tried to share my information with people. And a lot of times, when you're sharing what other people have done, it's not as digestible, and people just don't accept it as well. So I wanted to create something where I could just say, here, watch this. And so that's basically the goal and the intent of my channel right now, is just to give people something easy and quick to digest. And I feel like, just getting the information out there, more the more people that start to latch onto it, the more the planet's going to continue to wake up.
Exactly. And don't you have, I watched all but one so far. Don't you have about 20 so far?
Yeah.
They're all 20 minutes or 19.
20 to 30 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that makes it much easier for everyone to view. Well, thank you for that, Jason. How about you, Ileana? Please share a little about you for those that haven't met you or been to your website, Seeking the Truth and Reality. Is that your website?
Messages from a Star Traveler, but the website link is Seeking the Truth in Reality. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a somewhat of a galactic explorer and galactic historian. I like to research information to look deeper into the truth of beyond 3D reality, what's out there galactically, what's out here of that nature on Earth as well, and to explore going down that deep path to finding that truth. And I'm a psychic and remote viewer and Akashic Records reader. So I like to collate the information, check it out energetically, study to make sure it's accurate, factual, and honest in the truth, put it together and make presentations and teachings as well on my own Awakening Cosmic Reality Show channel. And I also am trying to do 20, 30 minute, 40 minute videos of teachings, presentations, some interview styles with people from all walks of life experiencing spirituality, awakening, ascension, discovering who they are on their life path, and just talking to different people of different journeys to find out what's beyond 3D reality and who are we as galactic living beings? what's here on Earth that's hidden and now being revealed for us as part of galactic history, and what's out there in the universe, the multiverse and the other universes that we're experiencing and connecting with on various levels of realities, parallel realities, and exploring in life what's important to us, because we are awakening and we are on paths of discovery in life.
Very well said. Thank you. Well, we three obviously share the same passions. So, okay, folks, I'm going to tell you the plan because I know you like the plan, because this show will be long, probably maybe divided into two shows. So the plan is we will be opening and closing with two 22-minute shows. That I wanted to warn you, because I have both podcasts and YouTube, you will want to watch these, not just listen, unless your podcast has more than audio, okay? So that's the warning there. And we're going to open up with the humanity's parent race called the Feline Irma. And then afterwards, I will be asking Jason and Ileana some detailed questions, and whether Ileana's research that she did independently in her book dovetails with what he intuitively received, etc. The last one will be a 5-minute gorgeous snippet from Jason's important and very inspiring video on knowing who you are as an infinite soul. So if you need to use the restroom, put your feet up, get some water, and prepare to settle in into this immersive experience of what I call a living hologram book. And really, really, preferably, if you have it, watch on a big screen. It will be much more impactful. So gather your friends and family together, and here we go.
Imagine a race of beings. Not just any beings, but majestic feline-like creatures that have not only mastered the art of space travel, but have colonized planets across the galaxy. Welcome to the incredible story of the Urma, a race from the planet Avion. This isn't your average tale of extraterrestrial life. It's a journey into a world that intertwines the mythical with the cosmic. A story that brings the legends of Earth's past into the vast expanse of the universe. The Urma aren't just visitors in the galaxy. They're a dominant force, having established their presence far and wide. They're not confined to their home planet. Instead, they've set their paws on various celestial bodies, leaving their mark across the stars. This galactic expansion isn't just about territory. It's a testament to their advanced capabilities and profound influence. Speaking of influence, have you ever heard of Avalon, the mythical island in Earth's legends? Well, the Urma's story intertwines with our own myths. Avalon, as it turns out, might just be another interpretation of Avion, the Urma's home. This connection suggests that their impact on Earth is not only deep-rooted, but also wrapped in the shrouds of our ancient tales. Now let's talk about their appearance. If you're picturing something akin to Earth's big cats, you're on the right track. The Urma share a striking resemblance to our lions and tigers, but with an evolved twist that suits their interstellar lifestyle. Imagine a tiger or a lion, but one that walks among the stars. But wait, there's more to these celestial felines than just their majestic appearance. The Urma's society and culture are as unique as they come. We're about to delve into a world where advanced technology meets ancient traditions, where social structures defy our earthly norms, and where every aspect of life is influenced by their feline nature. So brace yourselves. We're about to embark on an extraordinary journey into the world of the Urma, a journey that takes us beyond our planet, into the realms of the unknown, and into the heart of a civilization that's as mysterious as it is fascinating. Let's uncover the secrets of the Urma together, dive deep into the cosmos, and you'll find Avion, the enigmatic home planet of the Urma, nestled in the Vega star system. Avion is a world of forests and steppes, slightly larger than Earth, presenting an idyllic environment for these fascinating creatures. Not far from Avion lies its sister planet, Lyra, equally important in the Urma's lore, and said to be the cradle of all humanoid races. But what really sets the Urma apart is their striking physical appearance. Picture a majestic lion or tiger, And now imagine it walking on two legs. That's the Urma for you. A species with a stunning blend of feline grace and humanoid adaptability. They typically stand over 2.5 meters tall, with some reaching up to 3 meters, and they're adorned with stripes that give them a distinct tiger-like allure. Despite their size, they are capable of moving both bipedally and quadrupedally, showcasing an incredible physical versatility. The Urma's lifespan is another aspect of awe. They live approximately 950 years, a time span about 10 times longer than a human's, and 100 times that of a domestic cat on Earth. This extended lifespan is matched by a prolonged developmental period, allowing them to mature physically and mentally over centuries. Their resemblance to Earth's big cats doesn't end with their appearance. The Urma share many cat-like characteristics, including a preference for walking on all fours for speed and strength, despite their ability to walk upright. This evolutionary trait is key to their adaptation and survival across different environments. When it comes to diet, the Urma have evolved significantly. Initially hunters similar to their terrestrial counterparts, they have now advanced to producing synthetic meat. This shift marks a major leap in their cultural and technological evolution, reflecting a deeper respect for life and a commitment to sustainable living practices. Comparing the Urma to Earth's cats, it's clear that while they share physical traits and behavioral tendencies, the Urma represent a more evolved, sophisticated version of our feline friends. Their ability to adapt, whether it's in their diet or locomotion, alongside their long lifespan, makes them a truly extraordinary species, both in the context of their home planets and in the broader galactic landscape. In the Urma society, a remarkable equilibrium prevails, particularly in leadership. Gender balance is not just an ideal, but a lived reality among the Urma. With men and women sharing power and responsibilities equally, this egalitarian approach extends across all echelons of their society, ensuring a harmonious blend of perspectives and talents in governing their world. Central to their societal organization is the Andromedan-stepped holographic model, a sophisticated system that the Urma have adopted to structure their society. This model fosters a unique blend of individual autonomy and collective decision-making, ensuring that every voice, no matter how small, is heard and considered. It's a system that emphasizes the interconnectedness of all beings, valuing the contributions of each individual to the greater whole. The Urma's approach to governance oscillates between matriarchal and patriarchal systems, not in a contentious way, but rather as a fluid, dynamic balance. Depending on who is at the helm, the society may lean more towards matriarchal or patriarchal values, but this shift is always in harmony with their core principles of equality and mutual respect. At the heart of their governance is the High Council, a body comprising members chosen for their wisdom and experience. The leader of the High Council, whether a chairman or chairwoman, plays a pivotal role, not as a supreme ruler, but as an organizer and facilitator, guiding the Council's deliberations and decisions with a seasoned hand. This leader is more of a first among equals, embodying the collective wisdom and ethos of the Urma people. The concept of royal lines holds a special place in Urma society, symbolizing the enduring values and traditions of their people. These lines are not about elitism or hierarchy, but serve as a focal point of cultural identity and continuity. The members of these lines are seen as embodiments of the Urma's history, ethics, and collective consciousness, carrying the responsibility of representing the civilization in its purest form. In the Urma's approach to governance and social structure, we see a society that cherishes balance, inclusivity, and the harmonious integration of diverse viewpoints. It's a society where leadership is a shared responsibility, and every individual, regardless of age or gender, has a role to play in shaping their collective destiny. The Urma's capital city has the same name as their home planet, Avion. In the city Avion, you're not just stepping into another world, but into a fusion of ancient grandeur and futuristic innovation. Avion, sprawling and vibrant, mirrors the essence of New York City in its size and activity, but is uniquely Urma in its aesthetic and ethos. This bustling metropolis serves as a cosmic crossroad, a spaceport buzzing with interstellar activity, and a testament to Urma's ingenuity. Urma's architecture is a breathtaking blend of classical and sci-fi styles. Their buildings stand not as towering skyscrapers, but as structures with grandiose ceilings, accommodating their impressive stature. The architectural design weaves together the solidity of ancient constructions with the sleekness of modern sci-fi, creating an ambiance that is both timelessly elegant and cutting-edge. The use of stone and megalithic elements with Greek-style pillars, all scaled up to match their size, imparts a feeling of walking through a civilization that has mastered the art of combining the old and the new. The typical Urma home is a marvel in itself. Think of castles, but with a twist, either shaped like large round domes or as square structures reminiscent of classical Greek architecture. These homes are vast, with multiple levels and spacious interiors, including kitchens, libraries, and living rooms revolving around a central hall adorned with art and illuminated by the soft glow of torch-like lights. The stairs in these homes, leading up to even more private quarters, are wide and stately, designed for beings of their size and elegance. The integration of technology in Urma construction is seamless and thoughtful. While their buildings and homes exude an ancient charm, they are equipped with advanced technologies that cater to their needs and comfort. This blend of tradition and technology is a hallmark of Urma architecture, reflecting their reverence for their past and their embrace of the future. Environmental considerations are paramount in Urma city planning. Their cities are designed to blend with the natural landscape, minimizing ecological impact and fostering a harmonious coexistence with their planet. This approach reflects a deep-rooted respect for nature, a contrast to some human architectural practices where nature is often an afterthought. Comparing Urma architecture to human styles, the contrasts and parallels become apparent. While human architecture ranges from the minimalist to the extravagant, Urma architecture consistently favors grandeur and elegance, yet always with a nod to functionality and environmental harmony. It's as if every Urma structure is a bridge between the past and the future, a physical manifestation of their journey through time and space. In the fascinating world of the Urma, everyday life is a vivid tapestry of tradition, fashion, and familial bonds. When it comes to clothing, the Urma exhibit a flair for the dramatic. In formal settings, they adorn themselves in grandiose golden armor, complete with showy capes that reflect their noble stature. Yet, in their everyday life, they prefer more practical, casual attire, often choosing simple, unpatterned garments that allow for ease of movement. Their clothing, always tailored to accommodate their tale, merges functionality with a distinct aesthetic, ranging from Spartan-like simplicity to regal elegance. Grooming for the Urma is as much a social custom as it is a personal hygiene practice. They maintain their feline grace and cleanliness through meticulous grooming habits, often using their long, agile tongues, much like their smaller domestic cat counterparts on Earth. This grooming is not just a solitary activity, it's a communal practice, a way of social bonding and expressing care among family and friends. Family dynamics and child rearing among the Urma are deeply communal and nurturing. The Urma cherish their young, raising them in an environment that values collective responsibility. It's common for Urma families to share the care of their offspring, with kittens often being tended to by various members of the community. This approach to child rearing fosters a strong sense of belonging and interconnectedness from a young age. Culinary preferences of the Urma are predominantly carnivorous, but with an evolved twist. Having transitioned from hunting to ethical food production, they now cultivate meat tissues in specialized pods. This method reflects their advanced technological capabilities and a profound respect for life. Their diet also includes a variety of vegetables, though they notably steer clear of citrus. The Urma's love for pets, especially domestic cats, is a charming aspect of their culture. They regard these small felines not just as pets, but as little reflections of themselves, a connection to their more primal, feline nature. This bond with their pets is a heartwarming parallel to the human-animal relationships on Earth. Comparing Urma daily life with that of humans reveals intriguing similarities and differences. Like humans, the Urma have developed sophisticated social structures, culinary practices, and a love for pets. However, their approach to communal living, child rearing, and ethical food production offers a unique perspective, one that blends advanced technology with deep-rooted cultural traditions. It's a life where the grandeur of their appearance is matched by the depth of their societal bonds and the advanced nature of their daily practices. The Urma's language is as distinctive and profound as their majestic appearance. Imagine a voice that resonates not just from the mouth, but seems to emanate from the chest, producing a deep, sonorous quality that's unmistakably feline. Their speech, a fascinating blend of articulated roars and words, forms a unique linguistic tapestry. The Urma language, known as Avion, is not only spoken, but also heavily reliant on telepathic communication, adding a layer of complexity and depth to their interactions. Their written language bears a striking resemblance to Earth's ancient cuneiform script. Comprised of wedge-shaped symbols and intricate line patterns, Urma script is a visual representation of their rich cultural heritage. Historically, these symbols were crafted using their nails, creating impressions on clay tablets, much like the cuneiform of ancient Mesopotamia. This similarity suggests a possible ancient connection or influence between the Urma and early human civilizations. Music holds a special place in Urma culture, characterized by a preference for drums and brass instruments. Their musical style is grand and majestic, evoking images of epic battles and heroic tales. Instruments similar to trumpets and flutes are common, along with unique instruments that produce water-like sounds, adding to the diversity of their musical expression. The Urma's musical taste is reminiscent of grand orchestral compositions, with Richard Wagner's Ride of the Valkyries often cited as a piece that closely resembles their style. In the realm of art, the Urma excel in both sculpture and painting. Their art often depicts scenes of their storied past and cosmic journeys, rendered in a realistic style that captures the essence of their experiences and traditions. Sculptures often feature large, majestic feline figures, serving as a constant reminder of their identity and heritage. Art and music are not mere pastimes for the Urma. They are integral to their culture, serving as mediums for expression, storytelling, and preservation of their history. These forms of expression are deeply embedded in their societal fabric, playing a crucial role in both communal and individual life. Comparing Urma art and music to human forms, we see parallels in the use of art and music for storytelling and cultural expression. However, the Urma's creations carry a distinct extraterrestrial flair, combining elements of their feline nature with their advanced understanding of the universe. This blend of the familiar and the alien offers a fascinating glimpse into a culture that is both relatable and intriguingly otherworldly. In the Urma's world, leisure and entertainment are as unique and intriguing as their civilization. Their recreational activities are a blend of physical prowess and cultural richness, reflecting their feline nature and advanced societal structure. One of the most popular sports resembles a hybrid of Earth's American football and a vigorous game of keep away, where Urma athletes, demonstrating their impressive physical strength and agility, compete to retain possession of a log wrapped in furry cloth. This game, often played with a blend of bipedal and quadrupedal movement, is not just a sport, but a display of their innate feline characteristics. The Urma's entertainment forms extend beyond physical sports into the realms of theater, cinema, and especially immersive experiences. Unlike traditional human movie viewing, Urma cinema is more about interactive immersion. They use advanced technology to create experiences where individuals can live and interact within a story, not just watch it passively. This approach to entertainment, blending narrative with interactive participation, is a hallmark of their advanced technological capabilities. When comparing Urma leisure activities to those of humans, One notices the Irma's inclination towards more active, participatory forms of entertainment, contrasting with the more passive recreational activities often favored by humans. Their use of technology and leisure is not just for convenience, but for enhancing the depth and engagement of the experience. Technology plays a central role in Irma entertainment, particularly in their immersive experiences. These aren't just simple virtual simulations, but complex interactive environments where one can engage all senses and even emotions, making the experience indistinguishable from reality. Family and relaxation are deeply valued in Irma culture, with leisure time often spent in the company of loved ones. Their approach to relaxation includes lounging in the sun and enjoying peaceful moments, reminiscent of the serene contentment seen in domestic cats on Earth. Social gatherings and communal spaces, such as their equivalent of bars, are places of community and connection, but without the presence of alcohol, which is absent due to its adverse effects. These gathering spots are more about ambiance and social interaction, offering food, drinks, and a place to stay, focusing on the experience of being together rather than the consumption of beverages. In the vast Milky Way galaxy, the Irma are not just isolated players, but influential participants in a complex network of interstellar relations. Their interactions with other galactic races speak volumes about their diplomatic prowess and the respect they command across the cosmos. The Irma, with their commanding presence and advanced culture, have established themselves as key figures in the galactic community, engaging in various forms of cooperation and dialogue with numerous alien species. Their influence extends far beyond their home planets, impacting various civilizations across the galaxy. This impact is not just through direct interaction, but also through the diffusion of their culture, technology, and philosophical ideals. The Irma's approach to life, their technological advancements, and their unique societal structures have served as a model for many developing civilizations, showcasing a balance of power, wisdom, and empathy. The Irma's historical presence on Earth has left indelible marks on human culture. They are intertwined with some of Earth's oldest myths and legends, particularly those revolving around Avalon, suggesting that their influence dates back to ancient times. In the grand scheme of galactic politics, the Irma hold a significant role within the Federation of United Planets. Their membership in this interstellar body is a testament to their commitment to universal cooperation and peace. As members, they actively participate in decision-making processes and diplomatic missions, advocating for stability, mutual respect, and the sharing of knowledge among the member planets. The Irma's approach to interstellar diplomacy is marked by a balance of strength and benevolence. They navigate the complex web of galactic politics with a blend of assertiveness and understanding, respecting the sovereignty of other races while promoting common goals and collective well-being. When comparing the Irma's diplomatic relations with other species to human international relations, one can see both similarities and stark differences. Like human diplomacy, Irma diplomacy involves negotiation, representation, and the pursuit of mutual interests. However, the Irma bring to the table a more advanced perspective, one that transcends mere political or economic interests, and delves into the realms of cultural exchange, technological sharing, and galactic responsibility. The Irma's role in the galaxy is not just as a dominant species, but as a wise guiding force in the evolution and interaction of various civilizations. Their approach to galactic relations, deeply rooted in a philosophy of balance and cooperation, sets a benchmark for diplomatic engagement both on Earth and across the stars. As we conclude our journey into the captivating world of the Irma, let's take a moment to reflect on the incredible insights we've gained about this dominant feline race. From their majestic planet Avion in the Vega system, to their striking lion-like appearance and their advanced societal structures, the Irma stand as a testament to the diversity and complexity of life in the galaxy. Their unique blend of ancient traditions and cutting-edge technology paints a picture of a civilization that has not only mastered the art of living harmoniously with their environment, but also of pushing the boundaries of what's possible. The Urmaz society, with its balanced leadership, inclusive governance, and advanced architectural and technological prowess, offers a fascinating glimpse into a culture where tradition and innovation coexist seamlessly. Their significant role in galactic affairs, marked by their influential presence within the Federation of United Planets and their diplomatic interactions with other species, highlights the Urma as key players in shaping the interstellar landscape. Their approach to life, governance, and technology provides intriguing parallels to human societies, offering us a mirror to examine our own civilization's evolution and place in the cosmos. As we look forward to exploring more about other galactic civilizations, the story of the Urma invites us to expand our horizons and consider the vast possibilities that lie beyond our own world. Their story is a reminder of the infinite wonders that the universe holds, waiting to be discovered. Thank you for joining us on this extraordinary journey through the world of the Urma. Stay tuned as we continue to explore the mysteries of the galaxy and uncover the stories of other fascinating civilizations among the stars.
Thank you so much, Jason, for permitting all of us to get a sneak preview of this. And that was so wonderful. And I'm sure all you cat lovers out there now have a much broader concept about the true history of your feline pets. And so, Jason, that Urma video, you knocked out of the park, literally. I also understand that you just finished Urma 2.
Yep.
So, and you did that this week because you had so much interest in it. So people, you'll want to go out and after you see Urma 1 today, you want to go see the second episode at his website, Alpha Awakenings. So Jason, did you have anything you wanted to comment on what it was like making that video, how you received the images, anything you want to share with people?
Sure. Yeah. So, I only learned about the Urma maybe a year or so ago. And, but I've always, been very a cat person. I've got two cats myself and they'd picked me. I wasn't even planning on having cats. They just kind of showed up. There's a whole story behind that, but, Yeah, but they're amazing. They're amazing. They teach me all kinds of stuff. And I've always had an affinity for lions. And as you can see, the picture in my background, I had that before I knew about the Urma. And I've just, once I started learning about them, I felt very connected to them in some way. And, I think that it's very important that humanity learns who they are and what they are to us. And as more people learn about them and are able to connect with them, we have more of an opportunity to bring them more into our world, which would be amazing. So, so it's a lot of fun making the videos. I do a lot of research. I put all my sources in the descriptions of the videos. So I would definitely highly recommend people check out my sources as well. And I get inspiration too. So I feel like I have a really good skill at kind of discerning what's the truth and what isn't. So I try to put that into my videos and I try to add my little touches here and there as well. So yeah, it's a lot of fun making the videos. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. And yeah.
Were you always gifted at digital artistry
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really. I'm a computer nerd, and so I kind of like go along the tech route. And but there's been a lot of advancements in technology in the last year or so, and the ability to be able to do that and come out with images that I see in my mind is now a reality. So no, I can't sit down and draw that stuff, but I can, come up with stuff out of my head and use those tools for that.
Yes, and we will show. I know Ileana, you've done incredible graphics as well, and we will share six of those from her book as a teaser for you guys later. Because if you enjoyed this show, Her book will add some other things too as well. So, Ileana, did you resonate with all the information that Jason provided and what the graphics look like? How realistic was it? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I definitely resonate and can relate to the beautiful video of the Urma that Jason lovingly and beautifully produced. It flows with the book information, it flows with the research that I had done, and it also flows with some of the personal experiences and connections connected to the Urma on a level. So for me, it feels 100% genuine and correct. The Urma look like the lions, the tigers, they look awesome in the stripes and the characteristic, the features, how they interact with their families, the backgrounds, the cities, the technology, the wisdom that they teach others galactically is very much on par, 100% accurate in my opinion. And again, it jives with the book information, because it is essentially what the Urma are and what they represent. They're very highly spiritual beings and very much sick. They're basically 6 and 7D. So they are vibrationally attuned and they are ascended. I think they're ascended. So they've gone beyond 3D stuff. They don't have wars, they don't have disease. They're very harmonious on their planet, Avion 2. They live in harmony. They don't have things we have in 3D that are part of our reality. Their lives are different, and Jason beautifully depicted all of that harmonious information and topics in his beautiful video 1 and 2, Urma 1 and 2.
Ileana, when you mentioned Avion 1 and 2, I don't think a lot of people understand, like we're actually on the third Earth, folks, but that's a whole nother subject. So Avion 1 and 2, can you talk a little bit about that? And because I know you covered it in your book, so
Yeah,
maybe.
so the original Avion 1 was the cradle of life, where the Urma came into sentience in physical form from higher dimensional energy into physical formats as felines. They mainly have the lions, the tigers. They also have cheetahs, other feline cat species, many of them. It's not just one. So Avion 1 was their first planet of origin, and that was more in the Lyra system. And there had been some galactic wars that happened, and it was destroyed in that process thousands of years ago. And so they had recreated Avion 2, and that is now between Lyra and the Pleiades, on the cusp of both, in the middle. So, and that can actually be seen on Stargate maps. Ashleyana Dean's beautiful books, the 12 grid Tree of Life stargates, that is actually on there from recent research I found. So that's new. It shows Avion. I was looking stargates and I was looking for Avion, and she spells it a little different than how the Urma spell it, but it's like it's right on the cusp of Lyra and Pleiades, where Avion 2 is. So she got that information correct. And so it's been recreated. When you have the energetic frequency of a planet, it's stored in the Akashic records. It's stored in the galactic core of the universe creation. And you can access that and recreate the genetics of the animals, the plants, the sentient beings, which the Urma are, and recreate the planet in its core. And that's how they recreated it, with very special pyramids that exist near their world and on their world, and it helped to recreate it. It's crystalline technology and crystalline pyramids that recreated Avion 2.
So neat. It's so advanced. And what I wanted to mention, folks, how I use a lot of these movies are real information. And this is addressed to all of you who embrace the fact that you are co-creators, is that I use, once I have the visuals of something, right? So you just had the visuals of all the Irma, the culture, everything. I use that as a tracking beam, and I lock on that if it's a desirable future for us. And I hold that frequency to have the most positive future. And if you have enough people doing that, it actually can change and help holographic reality. So maybe you don't know that. So it's one of the reasons that we're showing, because when you all creators create through a thought first, and then usually an image, and then they project that, etc. So would you agree with that, you guys?
Yeah, I would like to add on to that. So, I think one of the things that starseeds, one of the things that they do, or one of their purposes is to come to Earth and hold certain frequencies and kind of radiate that frequency out so that other people can pick up on it. And because it's really hard to find a frequency if you don't know what it feels like. So when you can get around somebody that has that frequency, you can start to tap into that. And I think, learning about and understanding the ET races is a form of that at the same time.
That's such an important point. Thank you. What do you have to add to that, Ileana?
Definitely understanding the galactic beings that exist. There is light beings, there are physical beings like Andromedans, Pleiadians, Lyrans, Sirians, Arcturians. Those are the ones I resonate with the most energetically on frequencies of life and connection and learning from them, because they have guided humanity for a long time since Atlantis. They were like the founders of Atlantis, the beginning of the cradle of life on Earth here. So in we are today what they helped us to become in a beautiful, vibrant, energetic way to help us into physicality and beautiful co-creation of a loving, harmonious environment that we're working towards and in right now. At this time.
Thank you for that. I'm wondering, as I was watching the Irma video for, I might say, the ninth time, not that I like it or anything. I saw a lot of their use of jewelry, and you mentioned that, and the importance of wearing gold and their attention to, you had so many sacred geometry symbols and on their clothes and in the background. Can both of you, whoever wants to start, share what you know about the importance of that?
The Irma wear a lot of gold because gold has protective properties. Some of their armor is made from gold, and their jewelry is made from gold because it shields them energetically and physically from attacks or interference by anyone or anything. And they're highly telepathic, so they can interact and interface with the gold jewelry or other jewelry that have crystalline aspects to it. That they're wearing their armor part. They even have sacred geometry on their clothing, this beautiful golden frequency and symbols, sacred geometry symbols, like Jason said, that is protection for their body, their soul, and everything that they are in their essence. It protects them. Think of it as an orb shield around yourself, around your energy, blue, white light. Shield, we all have these around us, and as you expand it energetically, it keeps protecting you from everything and anything. The Orma jewelry and the sacred geometry on their clothing, the armor, it does the same. It really protects them on all levels of their reality and experience, physically, energetically, mentally. It protects them, their families, their pups, their kittens. So all of them are taught that this is part of their creation.
And just a little bit more clarity for those that don't even know sigils, or this is all new to them. How does it protect? I know that's a complex subject, because but what can you say for people to understand a little bit how it protects?
Sure, I can go first. That's okay. Well,
Yeah.
sigils, it's about color, it's about frequency, and it's about the design of the sigil or just the symbol that you draw. It could be as simplistic as you want or as complex in the sacred geometry and that sacredness of the sacred geometry and its patterns. It's a flow. You feel into it. You can create your own sigils. You can create your own symbols and jewelry, and you flow into the energy of what you're encoding and programming, the frequency and energy and the symbols themselves, the flow of the energy pattern that's encoded with the specific program of what you would like it to do. If you set the program energetically to protect and shield, that's what it does and what you drew or designed in the jewelry. Same for the clothing. You weave the energy of the sacred geometry symbol into the clothing, the color and the frequency, and it does what you intend it to do. That's how it works.
Well, in addition, they also do the same thing on their structures on their planet, their buildings and temples and things like that. And it serves the same type of purpose.
Beautiful. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
It just explains it a little bit more. So, Ileana, I noticed in your book you had some beautiful graphics that you found and designed and added to. And one I really loved, which talk about sigils and magical symbols, was what I just call the Cosmic Golden Lion Irma Founder Guardian. We are showing this on screen now, and what can you say about that?
Well, he is definitely the guardian protector of the planet Avion too. He has a lot of golden sigils on his body, on his fur. He has a gorgeous mane, a full mane of lion hair, golden. And that golden frequency connects to those sigils because he is a protector. And then he has blue sigils around his head and also like protecting the planetary energy, the environment. He is a guardian protector on Avion too. And some of their eyes are green and some of them are blue or can have a gold pattern as well. His is, I think, a combination of green and blue together. And that is a significance of his spiritual power and ability of protection and being a guardian.
Oh, that's so neat to know what all that means. Okay. You want to add anything, Jason, or
Just that it's a beautiful picture. I like that one a lot.
yeah, I did too. I fell in love
Yeah.
with that. Can I have one of those, Mom? No.
I know, right?
Okay, so this next one looks like Irma Warrior, obviously. And so, what do you want to describe about him?
So he is actually in the protectorate team of the Irma Guards, and he is a leader, and he is very, very inspiring in his ethics, in his creativity, and guiding as a leader. And he's wearing that golden armor, that gold armor on his body, and that actually makes him stronger, faster, and it gives him more ability. It strengthens him. That armor has special characteristics of what it does, and he is a pure white tiger because the Irma have lions, they have tigers and other felines. He is pure white tiger. He is of a very high royal lineage, I think. That's the intuitive feeling I get. High lineage royalty, but very humble, very harmonious, and very wise in how he helps lead his peoples on Avion too. It is done with grace. It is done with a lot of equal, because they're equals to each other. They don't have that hierarchy style as what other beings have that are in 3D, because they're a 670 race. So they have ascended beyond the current stuff happening on other 3D, 4D planets. So they live in harmony, and he leads in that harmony and grace and wisdom. I think he has a lot of wisdom, and he is like a compass himself, like a guiding compass to his people.
Are you allowed to? You said the gold armor protects him, and I heard something about source armor before that's used for gold. Are you allowed to say a little bit about how that works? to
Well,
protect.
the armor basically advances his DNA. It's not like source armor because that's source creation and angelic armor. That has to do more with frequency. His has to do with more to responding to the DNA, tiger and lion DNA, mixing that together and enhancing his abilities and enhancing his strength, his telepathy, and his ability to teleport to different places. On planet and off planet, the armor allows him to do that.
Really cool. Okay. And
It
so
draws more on DNA combinations than on energy frequency because the source armor connects to sigils and it connects to energy of the being who's wearing it, and it works that way. This connects to DNA. But what he's wearing in the middle, like the compass, it helps him to navigate galactically, like the maps of the stars and where to go. It's almost like a portal device in and of itself. So that allows him to open portals and navigate the stars and go to different planets if he wants to. That particular aspect of this armor allows him to do that. And it also protects him from other things like energetic attacks or, any other kinds of things that can come along. It's
wow.
like a shield. It creates an energy shield around him and shields him from those things.
It's beautiful, and I would imagine one makes it or it's custom designed to each person's specific DNA, like you said. Is that right?
Well, it is encoded with lion and tiger DNA. So each of the Irma, who are the warriors, have their own specific armor that's encoded with different feline DNA. Some of the armor might not have pure tiger encoded in it. His does. That's why he looks like this. And it enhances all his abilities and gives him other abilities to work with.
So, do they combine? Well, I'm sure there's total free will there, but do they combine tiger and lion together based on preference because it's more fierce or more abilities rather than just tiger or just lion or?
Yes, they can combine the DNA because some of the Irmas are hybrids, tiger lion hybrids. He is pure white tiger, but when he wears the armor, it has the lion DNA encoded into it to augment all his strengths and abilities. When he takes off that armor, the lion DNA is somewhat in his system, but not to that full capacity as when he wears the armor. It does connect to energy and frequency of DNA and DNA combinations, and something that the Irma, as master geneticists, are very much capable of doing and have explored for thousands of years and incorporated into this particular type of golden armor. And they have other armors that are silver and other materials that are imbued into it. I don't know all the materials. I'm familiar with the gold.
I would imagine they figure out how it can be somewhat comfortable, right? If they're going to be wearing it almost 24/7, it could be lightweight, not so much like our more primitive, but probably alloys or whatever, you know?
It's very much, like you said, customized to the body and to the fit of the physique because the Irma warriors are very muscular and they're very fit, and their physique is they have muscle tone and they have big bone structure. So the armor is customizable to the perfect fit of each Irma that wears it. And it's mostly the males that wear it. Females can sometimes wear it too if they accompany the warriors, but it's mostly the males that wear it.
Okay, fascinating. What about Jason? Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I would say that this image does a very good job of kind of displaying the Irma ego. And here we sometimes tend to think ego is a bad thing, but for them, it's their strength. They know who they are, and it's not about being better. It's just about knowing who you are, and they know that like very, very deeply. So I think this, just looking in his eyes, that's what I see.
Well, I understand that through the universes, they're pretty well known and not many can beat them. So as to, you know, the ones
Have you
from.
ever seen cats fight? You know that they don't back down very easily.
And these Irma warriors, if they do fight, they're defending and protecting with precision. They're not out to cause wars or create wars. They don't do that on Avion 2. They live in harmony with nature, in perfect balance and harmony. They don't harm nature. They interact with it in a very cosmic, symbiotic living environment. So they don't do the war thing. If they need to protect and defend, they will protect and defend their planets and other beings who need it because they're warriors and protectors, but they won't engage on purpose. Their ego is not egoic. Their ego is in harmony and balance with their personalities. They don't hurt people. They don't go to do that.
It's
They are,
self-confident. It's self-confident.
yes.
Yes, strength and confidence and balance and alignment. That's how their natures and personalities are.
Do they have an equal amount of female warriors, or does it depend? Do you know?
Well, the Imra battle group, Avion 2 battle group, does have females because that's their protectors. I did see some females from the research, but it's mostly they're very matriarchal for family because they could raise eight pups or eight kits together, and they share the responsibility. The females share family and responsibility equally between each other. So for the most part, I think they're very family connected, and that's their matriarchal jobs, as well as the wise female sages. And they have male sages as well as the leaders, but the females embody that feminine aspect of family, nurturing, taking care of family, their beautiful homes. And the males are there to protect and interact and be part of the family.
And Jason showed that so beautifully in your episode, all those details. Jason, any other thing before we move on to the next picture?
No,
Any?
just another amazing picture. Yeah.
Okay, so the next one, folks, we're showing is Ileana mentioned Avion 1 and 2. And I believe Avion 2 has two moons and three planets. So, and you're showing them with pyramids. So describe that picture and what we're seeing.
Yeah, so the bigger planet that is Avion 2, that's the current recreated planet. The other one is a smaller planet beside it, and there's moons in the background that we can't really see. And the pyramids we're seeing is from another planet close to Avion, and it's what's protecting the planet. It's what helped to recreate it, and it's shielding it, so it's invisible. It can't be, folks, you can't find it out there. It's not on radars, it's not on telescopes. It's well protected, it's well guarded, so it's very sacred. They take care of their planets, and these pyramids also help for healing. Sometimes when beings need healing, these pyramids also are crystalline technology, so they create healing. You go into them, they create the healing, they form planets, they reform planets. So it's part of like energetic terraforming done organically through crystalline technology. That's what these pyramids are. They're also on Avion 2. Some of them are green, some of them are blue, and we're seeing the pyramids from one of the moons near Avion, and there's more pyramids on the planets. And Jason showed that quite beautifully in the Irma 2 video.
Yes, perfectly.
Yeah, the way I see the pyramids there in my eye, I think there's a lot of different types of them, but the way that I kind of see them is they're a little bit translucent, some of them, but they're like crystals. They're made out of crystals. That's kind of the way I'm seeing it in my head.
It is crystalline technology, definitely.
So, and you say they use those to recreate their planets too.
Yes, they do.
Okay. So, I'm sure that's classified, but is the recreating of planets done by knowing the codes or the information of a planet and then do you know how that's done, or can you share any information on the basics of that principles?
I think it's knowing the frequency of the planet and the core energy and the template to create it. That's about all I can really go into.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so what do you both feel, okay, about Avion? Do you feel that it is the same thing referred to in mythology as Avalon, which in mythology was an island shrouded in mist spoken about in Camelot? Do you think it's similar, different, or what? Whoever wants to
So
go.
I haven't personally done a lot of research on Avalon, so I wouldn't be able to speak on that one too much.
Okay.
I think that humans in that time frame, they had a sense of what Avion is like, and so they chose to name their island Avalon, similar to that frequency and energy, to embody the characteristics of that.
Okay, that makes sense. Now the next one shows a castle-like structure with some amazing energy in that. So what is that for?
So the Irma builders can work with energy and frequency to create beautiful homes, healing homes, where they live, where healing happens. And that's one of those. It's a beautiful silver castle with water and energy running through it. So that's what the Irma, and again, Irma homes can look different. They can be circular, they can be rectangle, they can be more triangular, bigger, smaller. It's really based on the energy of what their Irma are creating at the time.
Okay, and of course, Jason also showed amazing structures in in the movie that everyone just saw. Do you have anything to add,
Yeah.
Jason?
Well, I think one of the hallmarks of like Irma, architecture is they really like to mix nature with it. And so yeah, anything that they can do to kind of interweave with nature, they do.
Yes, very harmonious interaction with nature, very respectful and kind. They don't have pollution, they don't have garbage anywhere. It's very clean. They work with energy a lot. Their abilities, they can create physically and energetically, and so they can create their homes that way with energy and physicality interacting harmoniously.
And even though, like Jason, you were saying that even though they have a class system, which at first I kind of go, the class is e equal. And so my first reaction was like, do only a few people have castles? Can everyone? And then I remembered it's probably an ascended culture. So I imagine that most people can create what they want and live how they want, right? And some prefer castles. What do you guys think about that? Is that true?
I think it's similar to here on Earth. I mean, we all come into this planet with a certain type of life that we want to live and experience in different incarnations. And I think it's the same with Irma and really any other beings out there. You know, some Irma are going to come in to be royalty and some are going to come in to be workers. And there's no, you know, they understand that from a societal level. And there's no, this person's better than this person. They understand they all need each other to make it all work. So yeah, I think they have a much deeper understanding than we do of hierarchy here on Earth.
Yeah, and also everyone's just living their passions. So they're probably doing, some really love doing if everyone was allowed to do what they really love to do, it would probably all smooth out, right?
Yeah.
Eliana, what do you have to add to that?
Well, they are ascended, so they can create energetically and physically what they want to bring in their beautiful environments and co-create as part of the natural environment. So they're on a higher level of existence than we are to certain degrees. So they create from energy to physicality, and we can manifest and co-create things we want to bring into our lives. They actually build their homes energetically. It's not brick and mortar. They see it in their mind and they create it from energy to physicality, and that's one of these castle creations in on their planet.
And that's an ability of any being, well, of most higher beings that are creators are ascended planets. That's how you create. I
We
know
that I
exactly.
would say that we create the same way here. It's just on a slower vibrational frequency, and we have to kind of see the physicality happen here more, because of the dense vibration that we live in. But when we're manifesting through our thoughts and our vibrations, that's going out into the ether and creating those standing waves that eventually find their way into physical reality. They're just able to do it faster and easier than us.
Yeah, and we use a lot of physical tools, brick and mortar, which they don't really use. So it's a little different, but it works on a vibrational level, I think.
Well, it's probably good that we do it slower in case we go, oops.
Right.
They create with a very high-end intentional level of what they want to create. They don't just create needlessly. They create with purpose and intention, their homes, their structures, and just to blend in with that beautiful environment and to keep it organic and natural.
So beautiful. I think everyone's going to sign up for vacation over there, but that's a good motive to work on ascension, right?
Yeah. Put me on that list.
There's
I need
an
a vacation.
example of an ascended culture, right? So this is
Yeah.
a great to have these visuals. Now, the next one you did mention, there are female warriors, and you did in the book put her name is Sirella. So tell us about what we're looking at here.
She's part of the Imra battle group on Avion 2, and she's a tigress. She has stripes, and she's one of the ones that make decisions on who can come to Avion and who can make contact and who's mentored. So to her, she's the one that allowed me to write the book and to create this information about the Urm and to share it.
Thank
So
you,
she,
Sorella.
yes, she brought in the disclosure, and the Imra group met and they talked about it. They make sure everything is done by the book because they do things by the book. And they do have female warriors, and she is a great example of that. Very humble as well.
Beautiful being.
Very beautiful indeed.
You can tell have a lot of kindness, but doesn't miss much.
Yes, yeah,
That
she.
look in her eyes.
Yeah, well, she is part of a battle group, the
Yeah.
Imra. Imra means connected to the mind, the soul, the physical, and connected to energy above and below. The I am, Imra, the I am connection of everything in unity and balance and harmony. I think that's how she defines it.
It's just beautiful. And thank you so much, Sorella, for allowing us to have more of the education about your culture. We really appreciate it. It's truly an outstanding culture and one that we can visualize to work towards. So, and mo helps motivate us. And the last one I chose is what about this tiger being that you named in the book, Usani?
Yeah, he is one of the wise leader sages of Avion 2, and his role is more of spirituality and advisor to how they interact with different beings on planets, how they mentor and make contact. Do they make physical contact? Do they make contact through the astral realm, the astral field, telepathically? Because they could speak physically and they can speak telepathically to us. And they guide from afar. They guide on very spiritual levels. So that's what his name is, Asani. So that's how he guides, and he sees many different available paths of exploring reality and what the best path is to choose in that guidance. So he's one of the ones that makes the decisions, who's mentored, can humans visit Avion? He's one of the ones that makes those decisions and how that's done and why, what the purpose is of the soul evolution and the soul path connection.
So can you have do a lot of people on Earth, for instance, would they have an Irma possibly as their guide or a teacher or anything like that? Is that possible?
They could potentially, yeah.
But okay. All right, that's so interesting. Wow. Well, I'm loving this so far because so far you both are in perfect alignment and validating certainly Jason's shows and what's come up on those shows and your philosophy and what you both know coming from completely different, possibly different sources or the same sources, actually. Who knows? So, speaking of the Irma offering soul guidance, like Gasani, with your incredible visual artistry produced on one of you, I think it's one of your favorites, and it's also one of mine, is the one called Remember Who You Are. You are the source and the infinite soul. And the visuals would serve also as an amazing meditation for people if you ever choose. So let's right now give our audience a 5-minute snippet with the transcendent graphics that you designed that accompany it.
Imagine the soul as a vessel, sailing through the ocean of existence where each life is a voyage filled with experiences, emotions, and learnings. These experiences don't just fade away, they embed themselves as pre-programmed ideas in the mind, intricately woven into the fabric of the soul. As we transition from one life to another, these imprints persist, influencing not just our future incarnations, but also shaping the landscapes of our afterlives. The soul, therefore, is not a blank slate with each new birth, but a mosaic of all past journeys. A pure soul is akin to a crystal clear stream, unobstructed and free-flowing, resonating with the harmony of the universe. This purity is marked by the transcendence of duality, where the dichotomies of existence merge into a serene unity. Recognizing a pure soul is to see the embodiment of universal oneness, an existence where the whispers of the cosmos resonate with the individual's heartbeat. It's a state of being where every thought, every action, is in perfect alignment with the universal symphony. The journey of the soul is not a linear passage from one physical form to another. It's an expansive, multi-dimensional experience. The soul doesn't incarnate in the traditional sense, but perceives and experiences reality in myriad forms and dimensions. This journey is not about returning to the source, for the soul has never left it. It's about realizing that each existence, each reality, is a unique perspective of the same universal consciousness. The idea of going back to source is a metaphor for awakening to the truth that the source is within us, around us, and is us in every moment and in every breath. Within the confines of our three-dimensional world, the immortal nature of the soul is a concept that both fascinates and eludes. Doubts about the soul's eternity often stem from our reliance on tangible empirical proof. However, the essence of the soul transcends these three-dimensional constraints, inviting us to explore existence beyond the physical and accept the limitations of proving the metaphysical with purely physical tools. The concept of the soul being contained is more about perception than physical limitation. The soul, in its purest form, is boundless and free, even beyond the transition of death. It's not confined in the traditional sense, but may choose to align with certain experiences or realms based on its own evolutionary path and the frequencies it resonates with. This freedom is intrinsic and remains unchallenged, even when the soul navigates through the diverse dimensions of existence. Our beliefs are powerful architects of our reality, extending their influence into the afterlife. The soul carries the baggage of beliefs, thoughts, and experiences, which in turn color the canvas of our perceived reality in the afterlife. This intricate web of belief and perception underscores the subjective nature of our individual experiences, painting a unique picture of reality that resonates with the soul's journey, its learnings, and its profound understanding of existence beyond the physical realm. The soul's journey is not exclusive to humans, it is a universal narrative shared across all forms of life. Animals with their unique consciousness also possess souls, complete with the capacity to remember and reincarnate. This shared essence reaffirms the interconnectedness of all beings, painting a vivid picture of a universe where every entity is a vital thread in the fabric of existence, each with its own story and spiritual trajectory. Souls navigate the cosmos not as isolated specks, but as interconnected fragments of a grander whole, drawn to familiar energies and experiences through the magnetic pull of signals and frequencies. This cosmic dance of attraction and interaction allows souls to find their way back to familiar entities, resonating with the frequencies that reflect their evolutionary journey, creating a continuous loop of learning, growth, and connection. While the soul and consciousness are intrinsically linked, defining their subtle differences challenges the confines of language and perception. The soul is the essence, the individualized spark of the divine, while consciousness is the expansive, all-encompassing field in which this spark shines. Navigating these subtle distinctions is a journey of introspection and understanding, a quest to unravel the layers of existence and embrace the full spectrum of our multidimensional reality.
How does the soul create itself? And what is the purpose of experiencing having a soul in universal creations?
So the soul basically comes in as a fractal or a fragment of source creation, which is all, you know, all that there is, everything. It's the entire universe, multiverse, physicality and non-physicality. It's the field. And, you know, basically that field wanted to experience itself from every possible conceivable way that it could. And so it fragmented itself into what we would call souls. And, you know, and those can fragment down. And as you go lower and lower, you know, into more vibrational density, you know, you end up getting physicality and ending up in where we're at. And so, yeah, that's basically what a soul is. It's creation having an experience from a certain perspective.
Okay. Well, and the soul can have multiple parts. One part of the soul is experiencing something in one body, and another fragment of the soul can be experiencing a different experience in another body on different planets. And the souls mm-hmm. can sometimes even know about each other a little bit because they intuit a connection, because it's one soul having multiple experiences and an expanded energetic capacity. And souls are also connected to their higher selves and the oversoul. So you can talk to your higher self, you can talk to your oversoul if they're all in agreement to make a connection and form a connection to have that experience. And we as living beings sometimes can incarnate together as part of soul families. In this lifetime, somebody is our mother. And in the previous lifetime, that could have been our cousin or our sister or brother. And we just intuitively know we are connected as family. So we choose to come back as soul family to work together because we've known each other many, many lifetimes and we're comfortable as souls coming into unique family groups to reconnect and to work together to create a better world, a better environment, to just expand the awakening process.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful, so fun to remember and learn all of these things. Now, the term you've mentioned, both of you mentioned before, is light body. And so can you, Ileana, first explain a little bit about how a soul travels in a light body for people? Because I think that's important to know more about their light body.
So every soul has a unique energy signature, a frequency that it comes in with, like the silver cord. Everyone's is unique when you're incarnating on a planet. So you attune that vibration to a light field of energy. You enter that light field energy, and that's your unique light body. And you encode it with certain aspects of what you want your light body to look like, what you want it to represent. Could be pure energy. It could be some physical aspect of yourself. And you can take your mind and part of your soul into that light body and travel outside of the body while the rest of your body rests and is at peace. So a small portion of the soul is still in the physical body, but the rest of it is encoded into the light body to travel and experience the universe, the planets, realities, dimensions, densities, realms, multiple universes, the multiverse, whatever you want to experience. You encode that light body to enable you to do that, to go and high frequency of vibration. It has to be a high vibration to do that.
So is that different than the astral body where we supposedly, even though we may not remember it, go out and travel at night? Is that a different thing for people to understand light body and astral body?
Astral body does not imbue the whole light body, the whole aspect of that energy. It's partial energy of your soul that travels through the astral planes. Traveling in your light body protects you more because the soul is more engaged with the light body. It's more protected that way. It's safer. So there's no interference by trickster beings or energy that shouldn't be there. So the light body protects you from that because it's layered within your field of high vibration. You're layered in that energy. That's
So
where the soul is when it's traveling in the light body.
that's an important thing to know about how to activate your light body, how to travel in your light body, etc., for maximum freedom and protection, correct?
Definitely. I don't just go astral traveling anymore. I do it in the light body. I don't take a small portion of my soul and go looking, searching from astral realms. I do the light body. I sit, I gather the energy, I make sure I feel comfortable with the energy of the light body that my, because it's holding my soul as a container in that field. Once it's up to that high energetic frequency is when I travel in the light body. If it's not happening, I'm not going to do it. It has to be the right conditions of the light body to do it. And you every time you do the travel, you're building the light body again. You're encoding that frequency to be safe and protected. Every time I do that, it's an energy protocol of protection and connection to the soul with the light body.
So, Jason, I know you have one of your many shows we're not going to get into today or show because we're showing so many and you're allowing us to do that. I really appreciate that. But you did do a show explaining a very controversial definition of two terms that I've seen, unfortunately, in this field, people fight over. And it's explaining the difference between density and dimensions. And you did one on that. And I really thank you for that. Because of the confusion of those two terms, and they're often used incorrectly.
Densities and dimensions really connect with each other, but they're different ways of explaining something. So the dimension idea of a dimension, three dimensions, four dimensions, five dimensions, all that is the way to describe the physicalness of a certain frequency. So the density is the frequency. The dimension is what is created through that vibrational state of the density. So when you're talking about dimensions, that's the physical space that's created by the frequency of the density. So if you're talking
Sort of
about,
like a location. It's like a location.
yeah, so like if you're talking about like in 3D, right? And you're talking about a physical cube. The physical cube is the dimensions. That's the dimensions. You can see it, touch it. But the density is the vibration that generates that physical cube out of the ether, out of the non-physical space. So when you're talking about, on a soul level, what you're vibrating at, that's going to be a density. And what you're experiencing in that density is the dimensional space, the dimension. So there's a really good way I like to kind of explain it. Have you ever seen the where they have like a they'll have like a speaker and they'll turn the speaker onto a certain frequency and then they'll put sand over it and the sand will just scatter randomly. and
It's my
you'll turn
bad.
up the fre yeah yeah you'll turn up the frequency a little bit until you hit a perfect frequency, and then the sand forms a pattern, right?
Yeah,
So
exactly.
that's so that the frequency of the sound is what you would call the density, and the pattern that is created is what you would call the dimension. So now it's formed a solid dimension based on that frequency, and then you tune it up more and it scatters, and then you find another pitch and you create a more complex dimension. As you move up the densities, as the vibration gets faster and faster, from a soul level and comprehensive level, right? You're basically able to process more and more information at a quicker pace. And so just from the act of learning, you're increasing your density, you're increasing your frequency, because you're able to now process more information better, because you have a stronger base of information that you're already working from. And so to me, one of the most important things people can do is acquire knowledge. If you want to increase your frequency, acquire knowledge.
In respect for your time, we are going to end this part one. And I want to thank both Ileana and Jason so much for your wisdom and sharing that so that you will learn more in the most beautiful of ways. And thank you so much. And I would just like to end this one with sharing a little four-liner from a poet named Remy Weiser. May you welcome truth that releases you, ideas that challenge you, fearless love that expands you, opportunities that excite you, and beliefs that liberate you. So onwards and upwards, folks, and thanks so much again, Ileana and Jason, for helping and collaborating and verifying each other's truth in what you were sharing. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.